90% of all millionaires are created through real estate. And like, as long as you buy decent deals, you don't overpay and you buy in good locations, you don't buy in like war zones, mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to lose. And so, I don't know, it just gets me thinking, like, with all these like startup ideas out there, it's like, you know, real estate is almost the for sure thing. Mm-hmm. And it's, if you have good people wrapped around you and you buy decent properties, you have a good team, like it's really hard to fuck it up. And so
yep.
I don't know, it just gets me thinking, like, why do more people not invest in real estate, you know?
Yeah.
Welcome to the Rich Summers Report, where we talk real estate, business, and wealth building, all while keeping it real. No fluff, no BS. I hope that you enjoy the show.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Report Saturday edition. And I got my co-host today. It's been a little bit. Miss Alex Johnson. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How's it going?
It's going really, really good. It's February 2023, now 2024.
2024.
But it's going really good. How are you doing?
Good. It's been a while since I've been in the hot seat here, but it's good to be back and feel like it's been a good year so far. Keeping busy. I have a meetup tonight. So yeah. It's been good.
We got a meetup tonight. The team was just out in Nashville a couple weeks back
yep.
for the STR WealthCon. That was fun. Did you have fun out there?
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Maybe a little too much fun.
But I think it was a good team bonding experience and got to connect with a lot of familiar faces, you know, that we see at these events. So it was great to see everyone and let loose a little bit. But also, I feel like you always kind of get inspired a little bit after those trips, you know, just kind of come back with like a fresh mindset. So it was good.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was our third time going out to Nashville. I think it's a great place to host a convention. Just a lot of good networking out there and always a good time with all the country bars and mm-hmm. all the post-networking stuff that goes down. And then exciting stuff. We got a trip out to Cabo here in another 2 weeks. Talk about that.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. We have our mastermind retreat out in Cabo, which I've actually never been. So I'm extra excited, but it'll be a few days just kind of relaxing and just full of inspiration. I think it'll be good to get with our mastermind members in person. You know, we only see some of them in person here, a lot of them just behind the screen. So I think it'll be a good opportunity, you know, for us to kind of another team bonding experience. But yeah, I was excited. We have a good group coming out. It'll be a fun time, but also I think really inspiring as well. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, I agree. So a lot of the members in our boutique hotel mastermind are going to be down there. Investor Girl Britt, one of our newest members, is going to be down there. And excited. We're going to do some tequila and ATVs. We got a private catamaran. We do a little sunset cruise.
Yep.
We're going to do a little mastermind session on Friday and some nice dinners and really just network and hang out with the folks, which is what it's all about. But super excited for that. And the Bodega Bay deal, 44 units up in Sonoma Coast, was put on hold for a little bit. We were supposed to close initially February 2nd. And then we knew that the seller owed about $800,000 in back taxes. This is TOT taxes to the local city up there. And he was just going to pay it out of the sale proceeds at closing. But our lender said they weren't going to fund the deal until liens were removed from the property and the seller files his tax return. So there's 3 years of unfiled tax returns from the property. And so we said, hey, look, we're not going to start the raise. We're not going to move forward until this gets squared away. So basically worked out a deal with the broker and the seller. We said, hey, look, closing will now be 21 days from when the seller files his tax returns. We just got wind that it looks like he filed them. So now we're just kind of working with the broker and the seller to kind of hash out a date. You know, obviously with the Cabo trip, I'm like, I don't want the closing to happen while we're in Cabo.
Yeah.
So I'm pushing for the Friday after
That'd be great.
Cabo would be nice.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But excited to open that one up. I know we have a lot of interest. We're walking into a lot of instant equity, $3.6 million of instant equity. That property appraised for 10.6 as is, with a stabilized value north of 14, and we're buying it for $7 million. So super pumped for that one. And that one should be a fundraise because we switched our fund from 506B to C.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm glad you actually brought that up because I think we are gearing up a little bit and we are kind of, it was exciting and we are ready to go. And so we've had a lot of interest with investors and then we kind of had to put it on hold. And so a lot of them are like, what's going on? And they're ready and it's an exciting deal. So I'm glad you brought that up, but you know, if you're interested, like just hang on, you know, it'll be coming up soon, but I'm excited for that as well. And we'll, yeah, it's an exciting deal. And so no surprise that we have a lot of interest.
That will be the last property that we add to this fund before we close it. And then we'll open another fund for future assets. But this is always the best time to get into a fund when you already know what the other assets are. And then this one, I think, is going to be the best deal within the fund. And so if anyone's interested, you go to summerscapital.com/invest, book a call, and chat with Alex.
Yeah. Let's go. Yeah.
Anyway, so that brings us to today's topic. I really wanted to do a quick little deep dive session on why SetJet went out of business and, you know, talk a little bit about the boom and the bust of the tech industry and why more folks don't go with the old slow but steady real estate investing. So, you know, SetJet is a aviation company. I believe they opened in 2019. I found out about them not too long ago. Through some folks in Fastlane, but basically what they do is they have, I think they had 7 or 8 planes in charter. They were based out of Scottsdale, and they flew to a bunch of local airports in the southwest region of the country, so San Diego, LAX, John Wayne, Vegas, I believe Salt Lake City, you have Scottsdale, Cabo San Lucas, and maybe a couple more. And the business model was, instead of purchasing a entire private jet, you just purchase a seat on a private plane. It's $99 a month and, you know, you'll pay for the flight. So the flight might be the cost of like a first class seat. So anywhere from $700 a flight to as high as like $1,500 a flight. And, they have these like pre-selected flight times. I flew them once. I joined like maybe like 6 weeks ago, flew them round trip to Scottsdale and back. On the way out there was like 6 other passengers. On the way back, there was no other passengers and we had the whole plane to ourselves. And I was like, dude, like for $900,
worth it.
We had the whole private jet to ourselves. I'm like, how are these guys making money? Mm-hmm. But it was pretty cool. I mean, you pull up to the FBO, literally like 7 minutes before the flight,
which is your style,
which is my style. Yeah. I don't like to roll up an hour early. I like to just roll up, you know, when I need to. And so 7 minutes before the flight, you pull up, they grab your bag, they give you a water and they walk you out to the plane. There's literally no security. They asked for an ID. That's it.
Oh, okay.
That's the only thing they asked for. But you get on the plane. It's like, you know, free drinks. Everything's included. Like whatever you want. Whoa. You got a private stewardess and all that. And these are like nice luxury like seats and like, you know, because you got other companies out there like, what is it? Big Stride, JSX.
JSX. Yeah.
But it's kind of a little bit more like, it's like semi-commercial.
Kind of in between. Yeah.
Yeah. You still got like I think you still have like a seat selection and all that. But this is like legit private with like really decked out, really nice like leather sofas and all that. And it was really nice. But anyways, I thought it was a pretty cool, you know, perk. I thought, man, if I'm ever flying to any of these like local airports, like I'm going to try to fly them if I can.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense and good networking. But it's funny because I was talking about them on the podcast last week and I was saying how like, man, like I was talking to Eli, the travel guy, and I was like, dude, such a cool service. And I'm like, man, I don't know how they're making money, but I'm going to continue flying them while I can before they go out of business. And then literally 3 days later, I get an email from SetJet. This is on Saturday over the weekend. And they said, hey, Rich, you know, unfortunately, this is a really tough decision for us. But, you know, due to financial reasons, we are going to be shutting down services effective immediately.
Oh, man.
And we wanted to thank you for your business and yada, yada, yada. And fortunately, that's just how the game goes. I worked as an air traffic controller for 11 years. And so kind of understand the aviation business. I think that is a tough, tough niche to make it. A lot of the big airlines, you know, the major airlines are big, tons of employees. And I mean, they've been bailed out many, many times. They've gone out of business many times, but been bailed out. And so sometimes these smaller airlines, they don't have the payroll. They don't have the number of employees to justify getting bailed out. But, you know, it's it proves how tough this business model is. You know, I think where they went wrong is I thought they did a good job marketing, but you know, I think it's tough to have scheduled flights and then to sell seats when you don't have a lot of scheduled flights.
Yeah.
You know? And it shows. It's like, hey, if two people book the flight, you still got to go fly.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're
true.
Taking a big bath on that. So I would imagine, I think their flights would seat like up to maybe like 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I think their break even was probably like 10 or 12 seats.
Yeah, that's tough.
And so anything below that, you're losing out on money here. You're losing money, really. If you love real estate investing, passive income, and tax benefits, but don't have the time, my company, Summers Capital, is buying boutique hotels right now. We source the deals, we renovate the properties, and we even handle all the day-to-day management, making it truly hands-off for our investors. If you want to learn more to see if we can help you, visit summerscapital.com/invest to book a call with our team. Again, that's summerscapital.com/invest. Now back to the show.
That sucks. I couldn't make the business model work, though. That's so funny that you're just thinking that in your head, because you kind of know the business and aviation. You're like, man, how are they making money? Oh, well, I'll just ride it out as long as I can, I guess.
Yeah, I know. But they were open since what, 2019? I guess what happened was, so they were about to go public, and they were about to open up more routes and get more flights and expand even to the East Coast, which I thought, okay, well, if these guys are expanding, they're probably going to be open for a little bit, right?
Yeah,
they probably got investor capital. And so I read an article and it basically said like they had a investor back out. They were doing like another fundraise. And I think it was like a pretty large investment backed out. And unfortunately, I think that was kind of the final straw. They had to close doors. So be interesting to see like how companies like JSX, you know, kind of shake out. There's other companies out there doing this model on the East Coast as well. So it'll be interesting to see. But, you know, it gets me thinking like, all these tech companies that boom and then they bust, the Kodaks of the world, the Blackberries of the world. We had MoviePass that Parker was just alluding to. MoviePass was a big thing. I think they went public back in 2018. They were selling $10 a month subscriptions for like unlimited big box movie theaters to go out and watch movies. And I'm like, how are these guys making any money?
Right.
And sure enough, they switched up their business model a little bit later. A few months later, I believe, and then they went out of business as well. So I don't know, it gets you thinking. There's been a lot of tech layoffs over the last year or two. And it just gets me thinking. I'm like, real estate investing is like boring and it's like the sure thing, right?
Right.
Like 90% of all millionaires are created through real estate. And like, as long as you buy decent deals, you don't overpay and you buy in good locations, you don't buy in like war zones. It's kind of hard and you got plenty of time. It's kind of hard to lose. And so I don't know. It just gets me thinking like with all these like startup ideas out there, it's like, you know, real estate is almost the for sure thing. And it's if you have good people wrapped around you and you buy decent properties, you have a good team, like it's really hard to fuck it up. And so I don't know, it just gets me thinking like, why do more people not invest in real estate, you know?
Yeah. I think it's one of those things. I think just the whole everyone's looking for like the next shiny object, you know? I think and I do think the whole subscription thing has kind of been like in for a little bit. I don't know if it was COVID or what kind of sparked that, but I do think that's kind of been like the new hot thing. Like, how can we make this a like subscription? So people are just getting into it. And yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, real estate's been around forever. Some people are, for whatever reason, I think a little bit resistant to it, but it's always going to be there, especially if you have, you know, a long span of time, then you can kind of ride out whatever waves happen. But yeah, I don't know. It's a good
observation. Well, and here's the other thing. And I'll give you an example. This is a good example. The building that we are recording this podcast in is a 130-year-old historic building. It's called the Globe Mills Building here in San Diego. And they used to manufacture goods here, like industrial products. And they would, the railroad track is behind us. And if you actually go down towards the water where the Star of India is, they would actually load up the trains with these goods and they would also load up boats and they would export them. And so that was what this building was initially built for. And look at it now. Yeah. It's surrounded by residential and it's repurposed and it's still operating, bringing in income as office space.
Yep.
This is 130 years later.
Yeah.
And think how much technology has evolved over those 130 years. There's been, you know, multiple world wars. There's been all these different things that have evolved. There was no such thing as airplanes when this building was built.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah,
we've gone to the moon. There's like astronauts, there's science, all this stuff now, technology. It's crazy. There was no internet when this building was built. And so to think that this building is still around making money is a testament to like how evergreen real estate is, you know? And if you look at residential, you look at apartments and a lot of this stuff, it's like, hey, there's never going to be a technology that replaces the basic need of shelter. People are always going to need a place to sleep. They're always going to need a place to store their belongings. Like no matter what technology comes, there's never going to be a replacement for those things. And a lot of these buildings will be around a lot longer than I'm alive. And so, you know, it gets me thinking, it's like, you know, you got all these tech companies, you got the stock market, you got Wall Street, but even these S&P 500 companies from 20, 30 years ago, a lot of them are not around today. And so I don't know. For me, I'm just like, man, like, yes, real estate, I guess technically the biggest risk is you could lose all your money. But in all reality, you know, a lot of this stuff is backed by real buildings. You can look at, you can touch it, you can feel it. They're tangible. Real people go in there. Real people pay to like sleep there. And, you know, the beauty of real estate is commercial real estate rarely goes to zero, especially if you're buying in good locations. So I think my biggest takeaway with the SetJet thing, just after hearing it, yes, I'm bummed as a consumer. I don't get to do it anymore. Maybe I'll check out JSX. But my real takeaway is I think it validates why we're doing what we're doing. We're investing into real assets. They're tangible. They produce cash flow. They have tax benefits. We can get good debt. And it just validates everything that we're doing, you know?
And I think if people want to diversify in different asset classes in real estate. You can get creative within real estate. I think if you're looking for like, if you just want to, you know, spice it up, do something different type of real estate. There's always ways to get creative within that, within real estate.
Yeah. That's a very well said. I couldn't agree more there, Alex. And, hey, who doesn't like to spice it up, right?
That's true.
Anyways, I think that this concludes this episode of the Saturday Edition. She's Alex Johnson. I'm Rich Summers. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in the next one. Peace.